Nice people can become useless tomorrow. A lot of womanizers are very nice. Father in heaven. They are the nicest. Those nincompoops are the nicest people around. They know how to sway women. Listen, I've been married for some time. And I'm old enough to observe in this life. If I used to tell my wife, if I was not a Christian, I would be a very dangerous person. Women, I know, you see, unless women go to church, if a woman doesn't go to church, she's unsafe. Because a guy, a joker will carry you one day. He will have finished, he'll kill you first before you realize, before you open, say, "Eh, oh boy, why didn't you just say you are the devil?" There was one guy in this town. He chased one young girl like this. Chase the girl, die, you know? The guy married and finished. The marriage lasted 2 years. This guy is not just a womanizer. He even chases married women. Not his wife delivered. His wife had picking. I know she said the guy go hospital, go see him. When he finally went, he said, I don't know how to carry babies. And that's why they look at his own daughter. Child, born to him. When she wanted to marry him, everybody said, "You don't know this guy, we know him, run." But he was so sweet to her. So sweet. Listen, guys, let me teach you something so you can use a good way. Don't use a bad way. If you use a bad way, God will punish you. Say amen. Amen. It's a good prayer. So now you are afraid to do bad. I tell you, if I'm a pastor of a cathedral, no corrupt politician will come to my church. Every Sunday I will say, "In Jesus' name, this week," you know the way pastors say, "The Lord bless you, the Lord keep you. The Lord keep his face, you shine upon you," and all of that. "And the Lord destroy you if you do evil this week." I go out and join. That is that one. Every man who will call that church again. He said, "But when are we doing that vote rigging?" Say, "It's next week. Don't go to church this week." So that we won't call it a curse. So let me tell you, so you can use the good way. Good way. Just wake up in the morning, you know. You never even brush. Just carry your phone. "Hello, Edna, how are you doing?" "Oh, I'm still sleeping." "Oh, you're still sleeping? Oh, I'm sure today will be a good day, that your beautiful voice is waking this day up." Oh, they get, that's they go back the whole day. When I was in Lagos, I used to tell my guy, say, "I can make any woman smile." He said, I said, just inside traffic, you know, inside traffic. Just drive up, look the woman beside you, just the look. Don't talk, just the look. Don't say anything, no. Just be looking. Even if she's 60 years old, she'll go blush. I said, just be looking. Even if it's, I know now. Look, all these ladies beside you. No, I used to tell my guys, that is, if you now, I'm not joking, no. And this one, just to make somebody smile, you don't know the inside traffic. As you're about to drive, just say, "Fine girl," and drive off. Hey! My father, she will go to work that day, she'll be nice to everybody. You won't know, one stranger saw her inside traffic and said she's a fine girl. One day I did something, a few months ago, I was going to Bonny Island at Port Harcourt. I saw one car that I loved. This is just a car. And I wasn't doing it. I didn't even know the other of the car. Man, you know this kind of car you see, eh? You know, some people like some things, you know. Me, I like fine ride. You know, fine ride, my God. It's the will of God concerning you. So that day, I just saw this. Is it dark red? You know, let me not take the car so that you won't go and buy it for me, all right? I'll wait till you prosper some more, amen? But if you have secrets, many millions, you can come and let me know. So I'll tell you where they sell the car. You go and bring it. I will, one whole night, prayer for only you. So I was looking at the car. I was looking at the car. My God, there was nobody in the car. So I went like this. I picked my phone. I went to snap a picture of the car. My phone died at that moment. See, this wicked phone, you know? I was waiting for the boat, you know, so we're at the jetty. I was waiting for my boat. So I went to grab something to eat, and I came out from the small restaurant there. As I came out, there was this lady that I saw around the car. She didn't look like she owns the car. She didn't look, you know, she looked like maybe somebody gave her a lift, something like that. She was, you know, shabbily dressed. This car is sharp, you know. This car, for you to drive that kind of car, eh? Even if you don't dress well, as you come down, part of the beauty of the car will attach to your dress. So, but then there was a way she just came by, just saw her pray the car. Pew! No, the car, chum, the car responded. She opened the door, took something, closed it again. I said, no, this young woman owns this car. I just walked up to her. I said, madam, good afternoon. I said, good morning. You have the most beautiful car in this country. The woman fell on the car. I'm not joking. She just said, thank you. I told myself, I said, if now her husband buying for her, that guy is going to wonder what happened today. He just go back home. This woman will all be loving him all over the house. I just said, I said, this your car is the most beautiful car. And I wasn't joking. I wasn't trying to, because I had moved around that car many times. Before this, I wanted to say, this man with the Boko Haram, you know, I had the car so fine. And she, in fact, she actually said, I should take a picture of it now. And I said, oh, sorry, that I thought I wanted to do that before you came. But my phone died. But I just said, I didn't tell her she was fine. Just her car. What if I told her, madam, you are the most beautiful woman in River State? He said she'll have walked home that day. You know, that's what I said, woman, women, you must go to church. If you don't go to church, these guys will steal you. They will kidnap you. This lady I was telling you about, this was how that guy did to her. She just wake up one morning, credit on her phone. Maybe you're just sitting at home, somebody will just knock, deliver a kick. Boys, they're writing these things down. Use it the good way. I've told you, use it the good way. And in case you are married, still do it too. I finished preaching, I was talking about nice. You see, when I finished, the girl said, I just go home. Baby girl, you want shawarma? She said, why not? Enter the car. I drove my wife to go and eat shawarma that night. But you sat down there eating shawarma. Just feeling the love, you know? You see, you can learn this. That's why ladies say, don't worry, he will learn it. You don't want to marry him because he has not done it all this while. Don't worry, I will teach him. Don't worry. He's a Christian man. He loves God and is serious with life. Marry him. As for this other, he's nice, he's not nice. We will teach him. Chuk, is that also? Chris. Olanka, have you been learning it? Have you been practicing it? Small, small. Just by the way, guys, I know say I said number 11 is nice, but then after some time, you now start the nice thing. They don't marry you, finish, don't be so. They have already married you. What else do you want her to do now? Eh? Try now, be nice. She has taken the risk. You don't know it was risky marrying you. No, really, marrying some of you guys, people like me, was a risk. My wife looked and said, so this is how my life will just become dry. No, I'm serious, she considered it. But without wavering in unbelief, she proceeded and did the will of God. The day my wife had peace, that at least some encouragement, that maybe life no go too bad, was one day, she came to see me, I came to town, so I was in my friend's house. So my friend just came, so when the guy came in, so I just said, I called him Cash, calls me Black. I said, hey, yo, Cash. I said, yo, man. So we did a high five, yo, man. Like, this guy said, yo, man. You know, yo is not raining now. I don't know what rains now, you know. But those days was, you know, guys are talking. Yeah, like, now I say, what's up, you know? Yeah, what's up? That's how I just say, hey, yo, Cash. I said, yo, man. So just give me a high five. So she was just looking and said, all right, things are not so bad. Thank God. What was it again? Then, no, yo was the one you told her that I said, yo, man. Then, you know, Kirk Franklin was now singing. Make me wanna dance. Storm. You know, she and her friends had the wrong impression about me. One day I was in the car, I remember I was in Lagos. So this guy, Michael Aremu, was playing. Anointing Mansion, Lori, make us some time with the Trinity. You see, can it be better? You know that, remember that time, right? So I was just in the car, I was driving. So it just got to that point. Anointing Mansion, Lori, make us some time with the Trinity. You see, can it be better? I was just riding, you know, just singing. I didn't know what I was looking. One lady was at the back. Pastor Mackie, he's rapping. Pastor Mackie is rapping. I was born rapping, my God. But they did not know. You know my point? Because you see from the pulpit, praise the Lord. In the book of Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. They didn't say that's what they do every day. I lie. Oh, and God really created the heavens and the earth. He still made Eve for Adam. And we know. You understand my point? So, it was risky. The Lord is good. But that risk has paid off well. Amen? I'm a nice guy now. Praise God. So, guys, I'm just saying to you, also become nice. Amen?
Amen.
Let me get back to what I was preaching, okay? So, this young lady, I'm telling you, that's how the guy did nice to her. Finished her with niceness. She married him because of his niceness. After that, the niceness became exhausted. 2 years later, she packed her bags, carried her baby with anger and bitterness. Everybody told her before, this guy... As I'm telling you, don't let anybody use niceness to. If a man buys something for you plenty, it only means one major thing. He has money. If he doesn't have money, he can't buy it. Unless he's a thief. And you don't want to marry a thief. Amen? Alright, so don't use that one. Okay? I know what I'm trying to say. Okay? So the young lady just told me simply. I told her, I only know the guy is nice, but niceness does not move me. Because it is not a plus, it is not a minus. It's just there. They're telling me the guy is dark or the guy is fair. What difference does it make? Either you're yellow or you're black, we think concern me. You understand? That's how that level is. Okay? Niceness is even less important than that, because if he's yellow, you can't change him again. You can't go and wake up and say, Lord, I want a black man. So you're painting him with kiwi polish every morning. You can't do that. He said, I wanted him to be fair. You can't start making the man bleach. Can you do that? But niceness, we can teach it. Give me your husband for 1 week and he listens to me. I don't mean he's a stubborn, you know, stubborn head. The man who listens to me, I will teach him how to be nice. He'll be so nice, he'll be tired. So I told the lady, I said, so I can't judge. I said, however, because you have listened to me, I will trust your judgment. That's all I can say. But having said that, if I went home and then suddenly I had a dream, or I wake up in the morning and I have a very terrible feeling, and it's somebody that will listen, I just call and say, oh girl, I have a very terrible feeling. Pray about it. You are not even allowed to change your mind because of my feeling. You don't know whether my feeling has to do with the bad food I ate 2 days ago and the salmonella is just manifesting today. You don't know. But this will cause you to pray. I used to say those days because my father was a very quiet person. If he expressed strong reservations towards the woman I told him I wanted to marry, this is my wife, I would have gone to pray. Not because he continued, but you know, he was such a... My wife knew him, of course. He passed on a few years ago. He wasn't the type that, you know... Like, the day I told him that I would like to get married, all he said was, about time. He didn't say any other word. I was going to say, you won't even ask who. He said, no, I know you will bring her to show us. That was all he said. All he said is, about time. So I now brought out her photographs. I had two of my wife's pictures there. He said, oh, fine girl, just look at it. He didn't say more than that. He didn't even ask, where is she from? You know, some people say, where is she from? Okay, let's go to their village and go and see what's going on there. He didn't ask. He did not even know she was not from the West. That shows you how much he cared. He didn't care. And he was very happy with me. One day at home, wanted to pray. He said so much about it. He talked about it, how he's very happy. You know, how I've lived life. He's so proud of it. He said so much. But he didn't ask me, where is she from? So I told my wife that, I said, if he had, you know, had expressed reservations, it would have been cause for me to pray. You are getting my point? Because I knew he wasn't that kind of person. So you now want to know, is the Holy Spirit moving him? But if I have one auntie like that, so I can lay a cousin, just older than me. My wife knows it. Even if you say, God said, you mustn't marry her. I say, go and tell God I will marry her. If my auntie said that, that's all I told her. Why? Because I knew the kind of person she was. She's the one I told you that the day that she was getting married with my younger brother, he wedded in Enugu here, you know. And I was preaching. When I finished preaching, she came home and said, she came for the wedding. He said, okay, thank you, thank you. I said, Auntie, what happened? He said, you just took my matter up to the pulpit to go and preach. I said, Auntie, you think I'm... Auntie, you think you are the one I'm thinking about? I'm just preaching my gospel, man, leave me alone. She said, that kind of, is it, so if she had come and said that, as I was praying, Holy Spirit said, she don't marry, ha, 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 that girl, Allah started my home. I will marry her. What will you do? The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. That will have been my response. Now, I'm saying all of this to let you know that a prophet shouldn't be controlling your life. Four guys propose to you, go submit their names in the house of a witch doctor because he wears a suit and says, praise God. And he will point his finger at you, at one of them, and you will think it's the will of God. It's the will of man. And it can be the will of the devil. Christians don't live like that. Are you getting my point? We have our own personal relationships with God. And that's why I said, no one will say to his neighbor, know the Lord. That's what Jeremiah was explaining. I will put their laws, my laws, upon their hearts. So that they will so know me. Like, go and read my book. Should I say yes? Go and read the book. There's a chapter there, which I titled, I Married the Girl I Liked. Because a brother asked me, what did God say to you concerning the wife? He said, did God speak to you concerning the wife you marry? I said, yes. So how did he say it? I said, the officiating priest said, I pronounce you man and wife. They said, I pronounce you man and wife. The guy almost fell down from the stool with laughter. I said, oh, you're expecting me to hear? Oh, you're expecting me to say to you? And I was praying one day. I said, listen, my guy, I saw the girl. I liked her. I asked her to marry me. She agreed, and we married. From the day I saw it, we married like 18 months, I know. So this story I've told you now was 18-month story. But that is the summary of it. So are you not a carnal man? I said, you don't know what the meaning of spirituality. Spirituality is not ability to look into the spirit to make decisions. Spirituality is walking by the word of God every step of your life. That's what it is. I said, have you noticed? I didn't go to a bar and meet a girl there, and I liked her. Are you getting my point? I went for my alumni fellowship. She was a final year student at that time. She came up to me to ask a question. And then we talked a bit. I thought I was too tired to answer. As she was about to leave, my mind, one angel said, waiting, look now. I looked again. I said, my God, come, I can answer any question. Just come back later. I said, you must understand. Before then, I had four things. Is it three or four? Three things in my mind I said I wanted from God in a wife. I said, number one, I didn't ask God, please, I want to marry a Christian. If I asked, they would have slapped me. So what were you planning to marry before? Osama bin Laden's cousin. So that was not the prayer point. God, I want to marry a Christian woman. It's not to be discussed. I said, I wanted to marry a woman that loved God. And that love for God, being vibrant, is manifested in the fact that she loves to learn the word of God. That's my point number one. I said, number two, I wanted to marry a woman who believed that I not only am I called to teach, I can teach her also. Hey, it's in that book. Should I say yes? Anyway, that's the point. I already had those things in mind. So, I married a woman I liked. It's not just a statement that that's brief. It has a deep connotation. It's that depth inside it that is the spirituality in it. I have seen people who went to pray and fast so that God can speak to them. And God spoke to them. And they still did not marry the person that God spoke about. What happened was that the Holy Spirit that spoke that time was assisting. The main Holy Spirit was on leave. When the Holy Spirit came back, he annulled all the decisions of the former Holy Spirit. Maybe, I don't know. But they said they heard God. I've seen people that said, God spoke to me. And then they spoke to the girl. And the girl did not listen to either them or God. So, you understand my point? So, I have other credit. I'm bringing an issue here. I don't have time to be, you know, guiding your life. My pastor, I want to travel. Do you think we should travel? No, I think you should take the ticket money and sow it into my life. We don't ask so stupid questions. Do you know Christians still do it? Before they travel, they want to phone their pastor for approval. Look, there's a respectful way you talk to say, ah, pastor, we're traveling next week. I say, what is happening? That, you know, we chat. You know, it's out of respect. It's not about, if I don't approve, you can't go. I wasn't called to run your life. I was called to teach you how to run your life. There are things people will tell me, it's counsel. I explain. You just say, sir, we're thinking about it. What do you think? Instantly, I say, no, Christians don't do that. That's what a pastor does. I instruct you with divine precepts. You can't submit anybody's name to somebody to come and do divination. He said, pastor, what if I'm a prophet? I've told you already. Then it is possible. Then God will tell me, listen, go talk to this person that is about to do something that is out of order. And that happens. But it is not allowed in Christianity. You come and submit names. Is this the will of God? It's not. I hope you're getting my point. If you want to do a business also, the same thing. Other than that, you carry your business to go and meet one prophet somewhere to check whether God wants to do it. That's why you haven't prospered till today. They never agree. Go and check if you are in town here. And the prophet is not sure that if you move to Lagos, his offering will be complete. He will never agree. A brother told me the other day, he said he wanted to see me, that he's thinking of moving from Enugu to Lagos. Now, this is how I handle situation like that. He said, he just needs to talk to me. Of course, you know I can't run his life. What he does morning till night in his house, I don't know. The only thing I know is I can teach you the precepts of God. So I said, you understand that promotion does not come from the east or the west, nor from the south. But God is judge. He understands that. So you don't think that blessedness is in Lagos. No, I know it's in me. And anywhere I go, I will manifest. Now, if you know all of these things, you can go anywhere. Do you understand my point? So once you settle that, I said, no problem. He said, what do I think? I said, I really don't have much to think right now. I said, but you see, when you're talking to me like that, I always scan my spirit. And actually, a lot of times, this happens a lot. I will still encourage you, if indeed, because that's my job, I'm a pastor. You know, I don't mean I pastor a church now. I mean, the job of a pastor is to teach people with the word of God. So when you discuss matters with me, I don't want a stranger. If I say, don't come and talk to me. The reason is because, where will I start teaching you from? You still believe that if I don't go to America, I won't prosper. How will I explain that one to you? So people I talk to, there are some questions I don't have to answer for them. They already know. But you can still go somewhere. There's one brother here, I didn't talk with last Tuesday, I introduced him. You know, he just came back from either Ireland or England or Scotland. Somewhere in UK anyway, where he just went to do his master's program. You know, we used to even chat once in a while when he was over there. So there's no problem with that. But all of us understood that it is not that is where salvation is. So when people are talking to me a lot of times, one of the reasons is that if we know each other enough and you discuss things with me, I can help sometimes. There's wisdom. James said, if any man lack wisdom, there are times we lack wisdom. Somebody else may have the wisdom that you don't have. That's why you should make friends with people who love the word. Don't make friends with jokers. When you are going to a Bible study, your bosom friend is going to for party. You should know that you are confused. Your best friend cannot be somebody who doesn't love the word of God. They will lead you astray. The Bible never said good communication corrects bad manners. Have you ever read it before? What did it say? Bad company spoils good manners. That's how it is. You can't say because this other meat is good, this one is bad, let's mix the two. The good one will now make the bad one good. No, the bad one spoils the good one. If you want to live a life that is right and you're making progress spiritually, your best friend can never be somebody who doesn't love the word of God and respect the word of God. No.
People who give you counsel, they must love the word of God. So that day, I told the brother, like I was telling you, you discuss with me just like a friend who knows some things. So as I was talking, I was scanning my spirit, like I always do. And I'm really praying, Father God, if there's a word for this man, put it in my mouth. And by the time I finished talking, I just asked him a simple question. I said, now having explained this, I can't tell you anything. I can't say, go, don't go. I believe God with you and all of that. I said, however, when you get to Lagos, what are you going to be doing? I said, what are you going to be doing? He said that, by the time he finished talking to me, I just said, listen, go to where you are going. I don't have any problem with it. But make sure that by the time you go there, when you wake up in the morning, you have somewhere you are going. I'm not talking about you must have plenty of money. But you can't get there, sit down, and not be doing anything. There have been times that God said to Abraham, follow me, and I will show you. I said, but except God is telling you that if we have to operate by the general precepts that we understand, I said, then go there because you have something to do there. That was counsel. I was not running his life. If he calls me tomorrow and he says that now I am in Lagos, I'll say, oh, God bless you. I will be praying for you. And as a friend, you should pray for your friends. Are you getting my point? It's not a pastoral duty. Hey, Christians don't understand this thing. I want to try to let pastor know so he can be praying for you. It's not a pastoral duty. It's a friendly duty. It's not a pastoral duty. It's just a friendly duty. As Christians, if two of you are friends, all right, and he prays for you that this America that my friend has gone to, God keep him, bless him. And I pray for you, this America that my friend has gone to, bless him. Even though he's not the pastor of that church, his prayer is as potent as the one that's the pastor of the church. What makes each person's prayer potent are two things. One, faith. Two, righteousness. Now, I don't have time to explain it now. But that gives you power with God. A lot of people think that pastors are the only ones that have it. Some of these pastors are sinners and doubters. I don't mean as a bad way. What I mean is that you can't say that you don't know whether I am have more faith than people listening to me. In fact, according to Pastor Busui, said the congregation can overtake the preacher because faith does not come by preaching, it comes by hearing. I hope you're getting my point. Listen, I went to all of this to let you know that, listen, Christians, there are things you're not allowed to do. You can't be carrying your life from one prophet to another, from one prayer contractor to another prayer contractor, from one prayer house to another prayer house. You can't be doing that. It only breeds for you confusion. It breeds for you fear. If you need anything from God, how else will I say this? What do you do? What do you do? I can't hear you well enough. Say, won't I sow a seed? No! Any seed you sow at that time is a jaguda seed. You are trying to entice God. You are deceiving yourself. You are giving yourself self-confidence, which is false. What God wants from you is confidence in Him. What God wants, that He wants you to say that I have asked Him, He has heard me. Once you say, I have sown the seed, you have put your faith in works. You want to sow seed, I'll tell you how to sow seed. It's a continual doing of good works. The seeds that matter the most are not the ones you target at the thing you are looking for. In fact, anyone you put for something you are looking for, listen, I will say it to you, I don't care who told you the opposite. The Bible says, which one went more justified? The one that said, have mercy upon me, the sinner. Or the one that says, I have paid my tithe, I have given offering, I have sown dangerous seeds. Hear this again, I'll tell you. You don't need to sow any seed. Your seed is not what brings forth results for you with God. That kind of seed. The kind of seed that brings forth results, Jesus said it, the seed is the word of God. When you plant the word, it yields fruit. So what about my money? Your money is a financial contribution. It's not a seed. Your seed, your money is a financial contribution. You say, check out. You don't sow all these years. Wait till you don't produce nothing. How do I know it didn't produce anything? It normally doesn't produce anything. You know what produces? Faith. What did I call it? Faith. When you ask, what seed did Jabez sow? No seed. Jabez knelt down and said, oh, that you will bless me indeed. And Jesus said, this is the way you will get results. Whatever you ask the Father, how do you do it? Ask in my name. James said, let him ask, nothing doubting. That's all. You cannot give money because you want more. No, it will never work. If you want money, how do you get money? You ask. And you go about your normal duty. Be responsible. Don't wake up in the morning and say, I'm asking for money. Wake up in the morning, go about normal duty for people of your, you know, your profession, your career, the life you are living. If you're a pastor, don't sit at home and say, I'm asking for money and I'm pacing in the name of Jesus. I'm receiving money. Go and preach. Are you getting my point? If you're a shoemaker, go and make a shoe. If you're a driver, drive a car. If you're a civil servant, go to the civil serving office. Go and serve civil. You get my point? That's what I'm saying. Just do that. If you're a business person, get down to where you are doing your business. Don't go for a prayer meeting at 8 o'clock in the morning when market opens at 9. It's a very stupid time to go for a prayer meeting. You want to pray? Go to the market and pray from 8 till 8:45. 8:45, open the shop, clean everything. 9, swing open like everybody else. As for those prayer meetings that are organized in the morning, it's for women who are nursing babies. You understand my point? You are getting what I'm saying? Please, don't be running up and looking for fake spirituality. I was saying, so you want something, what do? You ask. And you get up in the morning, you go about your business. Then God prospers the labor of your hands. Once in a while, that's not the regular thing, he brings a supernatural gift your way. You're not a preacher. Why should somebody be giving you offering? Some people are sitting at home waiting for money to just drop from somewhere. Listen, and unless you're a preacher, only preachers sit down and somebody blessed just call them and say, man of God, you are a blessing. Take. And you know what? It is his payday. What did I call it? That's his own payday. He did the work last week, last year. One day, a young man saw my wife somewhere. He said he was just thinking about me. He just went to a shop, just bam, stumbled into my wife. Madam, this is the Holy Spirit. He did his hand in his pocket. Give my wife $100. Say, when you get home, give pastor. Somebody say, praise God. That is what? Payday. What did I call it? Payday. What did I call it?
Payday.
Payday. It's not idleness. It is what? Payday. Otherwise, an average person, God prospers you by increasing your ability to produce. You hear what I said? That's what he does normally. He increases your ability to produce. From doing business of 10,000, he increases to doing of 100. Then one day, from doing business of 1 million, you jump up to 1 billion. Because you have proven what? Faithful. I digress to that to emphasize the fact again that you don't. It's not your life is not about prophecy, somebody going around, should I marry this person, should I marry this person? No. That's why you will remain in confusion. Going from one prayer house to the other is causing what? Confusion. It's destabilizing your soul. It's making you afraid. They are casting out demons that are not chasing you. When you leave the place, suddenly they are looking out for the demons. My message to you today is, listen. In Christ Jesus, you are free. What did I say? Say it loud like you believe it. Say it loud like you believe it.
In Christ Jesus, I am free.
Say it again.
In Christ Jesus, I am free.
Everybody, bow down your heads. We are praying. Say it again. In Christ Jesus, I am free. Say it again.
In Christ Jesus, I
am free. Say it again.
In Christ Jesus,
I am free. Say it again.
In Christ Jesus, I am free.
Just keep saying it. In Christ Jesus, I am free. One more time. In Christ Jesus, I am free. Now listen to this. What you are going to say now is this. In Christ Jesus, I have righteousness. Are you getting my point? Let me explain it. What we mean by that is that you're not trying to look for what to do so as to please God. You have already pleased God because of your faith. What you just want to do now, just walk in life according to the plan of God. Are you getting my point? You're not, listen, I need to say this for people to understand.
Because when I say it, says some things earlier, some who may not have heard it before, they may have been confused. God is not blessing you because you sowed the seed. I'm not joking about that. He's blessing you because Jesus died for you. Did you hear what I said? He's blessing you because Jesus died for you and you believed in that Jesus Christ. And that faith in him, God sees it as what? Righteousness. So when you say, in Christ Jesus, I have righteousness, what that means is that all my prayers will be answered. All my desires will be met. All my problems will be solved. That's what you are saying in one statement. You are saying, I have not come because of the power of what I did. I've come because Jesus has done everything for me. I'm just walking by faith. So everybody say, in Christ Jesus, I have righteousness.
In Christ Jesus, I have righteousness.
Once again, say it. In Christ Jesus, I have righteousness. Say it one more time. In Christ Jesus, I have righteousness. Now, one more thing. Listen to this. All ancestral curses, they have been broken. Don't go to any prayer house where they start telling you, bring this so you can break a curse. All the curses have been broken. They have been broken because Jesus died for you. Listen, if any spirit is chasing you, it is because of your ignorance. Go back home and just go to sleep. Go back home and recite this thing before you sleep. Say, in Christ Jesus, I'm free. In Christ Jesus, I have righteousness. In Christ Jesus, all ancestral curses are broken. Do you understand that? Now, we're going to say, I'm free again. But this time around, the emphasis in your heart as you are saying it is that all ancestral curses are broken. So everybody say,
in Christ Jesus,
I am free.
In Christ Jesus, I am free.
In Christ Jesus, I am free. Say it again. In Christ Jesus, I am free. Say, all curses are broken.
I am free.
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 Say, Satan.
I am free.
Say, devil.
I am free.
You can't do anything to me. Listen, that is the word of God concerning you. I said that is the word of God concerning you.
Amen.
Let's just give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we thank you.